Hallelujah. What a joy to be here this evening. I'm already super saturated. I wonder what will come out of me now. You know, there are places that are very difficult to stand. I think this is one of those places. I hope God wants to help me. Because when Reverend Olumide is done preaching, Reverend Yemi Davis has preached, and then we had this powerful session again, I wonder what I'll be saying here. Lord, help me. So as you are seated there, pray for me. My God, when Pastor Bolaji was preaching, scales were lifted. Can we please celebrate the angel over this house? God's servant, Pastor Charles Osazoa, and his dear wife, Pastor Mrs. Deborah Osazoa. Come on, make that louder. Don't get tired. The values you are receiving, he made it available. Shout glory! Praise God. Thank you so much, sir, for giving me this opportunity to be here to share God's word. I'm very personal when I come to Benin, because I married from here. So this is my second home. And so for me, it's a huge honor. And of course, thank you for giving me the privilege to line up with this great man to bring the word of the Lord. And I want to honor all the senior ministers that are here. There are bishops here. There are senior ministers. Thank you so much for coming. God bless you. Hallelujah. If you are not yet saturated, lift your hands toward heaven and ask the Lord for another dose. Our time is short. Just ask him for an encounter. Ask him for an encounter. Pray in the Holy Ghost. 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 Pastor Bolaji taught us already. It is the Spirit that quickens. The flesh profited nothing. Pray in the Spirit. He said they go from strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion that appeared before the Lord. He said times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. This is not a place to be weak. This is a place to be invigorated. This is a place to be strengthened. He said rise ye up. Take up thy journey. Go beyond the river Arnon. Behold, I have given unto you Sihon, the Amorite, king of Heshbon. He said, begin to contend with him in battle and possess the land. There are things you possess by contending in the spirit. Can we pray like people? Desperate for a change, desperate for a shift. Mato Parakas, Tevedina, Zaliga, Patoria, Ragada, Stavanda, Zuza, Zedede de Baka, Barastava, Kasura, Tatale. There's capacity there, brother. Go ahead and stay it. He said, they that believe out of their bellies shall flow rivers of living waters. There was a time when we fetch with a cup, but this time is a gusher. Kaparata, Betaris, Kapina, Setete Paro Tabakata, Manda Paros Tabar. Thank you, Father. We give you praise. We give you glory. Lord, we ask that you shine your light upon us again and cause our spirits to receive your word and the power of your spirit. In Jesus' precious name. Please be seated. Hallelujah. I looked at the time and I realized I need to go to the scriptures quickly. Maybe by tomorrow we'll have more time for ascensions. Hallelujah. Very quickly, I'm here to share with you the place of the altar in kingdom advancement. The role that prayer plays if kingdom or divine mandate must be advanced. And I'll try to cut it very short. Glory to Jesus. There are two forces that makes for impact. The first is revelation, and the second is consecration. And everything we are learning tonight is encapsulated into these two broad realities: revelation and consecration. The undoing of certain people is the fact that they know so much, but they have little or no doing. There's no consecration. And there are those who are laboring so hard, but they are laboring in ignorance. The Bible said, "The labor of the foolish wearieth every one of them, for they know not how to enter the city." And one thing I know this conference will do for us is to give us light. As touching revelation, there is no doubt that we are hearing things that are uncommon. My prayer for every one of us tonight is the grace to follow through in obedience every instruction that would have caught by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And some of the things I'll be sharing tonight is just to open our understanding and help us understand the demand of consecration in the place of prayer. Everything I'll be sharing here will be useless except as you depart from here and you actually begin to pray. If you don't make prayer a lifestyle, you would have heard certain things. They may bless you, they may inspire you, but they will have little or no impact in your life and destiny. Now, as a way of introduction, there are three major things that gives essence and meaning to our existence. Number one is to know God. The reason we are here is to know Him. And Jesus made us understand the depth of knowledge that the Bible is speaking about here. When you study knowledge in your scripture, I don't want to go so much into Greek or Hebrew, but you discover that there are five cadres of knowledge. The first word for knowledge is the word gnosis. It means awareness. The second word for knowledge is the word ginos. Well, let me take it in order. You have gnosis, then you have epignosis, which is revelational knowledge. Then you have ginosko, which is a revelational knowledge that produces result, right? When you have intimacy with someone, there is no guarantee that a child will be formed. So when you have intimacy, you have experiential knowledge. But when a child comes out of it, that knowledge has produced results. So ginosko is a bit deeper than epignosis. And then you have what you call dokimazo. Dokimazo is applied knowledge that has become a pattern. And so when we talk about knowing God, we are not saying the things you know about God. We are talking about coming into an encounter with God where you know Him for yourself. He said, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled." So the first reason for existence is to handle God. Everyone must know God by experience. And Jesus said, when you get there, He said, "That is life." John 17 verse 3 said, "This is life eternal, that you may know Him, the only true God, and Him whom He has sent." The reason our lives are not impactful is because the knowledge of God is lacking. I know you may know a lot of things about God, but do you know God? I'm laying this foundation because this is one of the major reasons for prayer. You can attend a Bible seminary, you can have a title, but if you don't engage God, you can't know Him. There is little you can communicate about a spirit. Spirits are encountered to be known. And there is a protocol for encountering spirits. And so the first thing that gives meaning to your existence is to know God by experience. The second thing that gives meaning to our existence is our growth in God. Because there is so much of God we can't handle. There is so much of God we cannot be entrusted with except as we grow in Him. Listen, no matter how you love your child, there are things you can't give to your child except as he grows. And so growing into his fullness so that we can experience him and be entrusted with kingdom responsibility is why we are here. The angels were speaking, the 24 elders, in Revelation 4:11, and they said that all things were created for thy pleasure. So as you know God and you grow into him, that is what gives God delight. Because at this point, God can entrust you with kingdom responsibilities. And I can tell you, there are many of us seated here that have global ordinations that is not speaking. The reason is because God can't take the risk of entrusting us with it. This is why we must grow. And everything we are learning here for since morning until now are spiritual ingredients that translate to growth. And Paul summarized it all in Ephesians chapter 4 from verse 11 to 16.
And he told us when we grow to full maturity, particularly in verse 16, he said we come into him in all things. In fact, in this scripture, Paul gave us four levels of growth. From verse 11, he said, to some he gave to be apostles, to some he gave to be evangelists, to some he gave to be pastors and teachers. And he said, for the perfecting of the saints. The word perfecting is katatismos. It means to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. And he now began to show us, for us to do the work of the ministry, there is a necessity for maturity. And he showed us seven levels of maturity. Number one, after edifying the body of Christ, this is what he said. Go to verse 13. Let me list them quickly. He said, till we come to the unity of the faith. Number one, that means the first level of growth is to come to the unity of the faith, where you know that the next person sitting by your side is not a stranger, is your brother, is your sister. And much more than that, that person is a part of your body, because we are one body in Christ. Listen, the reason most times our number counts for nothing is because we are many but we are strangers. And so a Christian takes a lot of delight in seeing another Christian fall. No matter the revelation you have, if you have not seen the next believer as a part of you, you are a baby in the things of the Spirit. This is why Paul was speaking, and he said, although I know all mysteries, I speak all tongues. He said, if I do not have charity, I am a clanging cymbal. We have not come to the unity of the faith, then we have not begun to grow. It will be a risk for God to give us certain levels of authority. It will be a risk for God to give us certain levels of power. Many people are trusting God for many things, but there's no love in their heart. When you find them praying and striving, they want to prove a point. And when somebody else is rising, they are full of bitterness and envy. In fact, their day is made when they hear that person is falling. And sometimes bitterness can push them. They can't even contain it. It becomes the substance of their preaching. Until we come to the unity of the faith. That's the first credential for growth. And he went further. Number two, he said, unto a perfect man. A perfect man in this context is not a sinless man. James chapter 3 verse 2, it says, see, a man who is perfect is one who has rule over his tongue. So what Paul is talking about here is a knowledge that brings you to a level where you can tame the flesh. So you are not moved by the promptings of your emotions, but you are led by the Spirit of God. Because as many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. And so a man cannot, I'm going somewhere, right? A man cannot be entrusted with kingdom authority except as he can tame his flesh. You don't do what you feel like. You do what you are led to do, or you do what scriptures articulate for you to do. So the second level of growth is to become a perfect man. A man that has rule over his tongue. Number three, this is what Paul said. Go back to that scripture. Can you touch the keyboard for me? Just give me some sound, floating sound. Forgive me. Ephesians 4, verse 14. Let's be quick. I want you to see the scripture. It says, henceforth, go back to verse 13. Number three, it says, we'll come into the fullness of the measure of the stature of Christ. Now, if you read verse 16, you are going to see another dimension of Christ. So what he was referring to here are the principles of the kingdom. When a man begins to mature, like Pastor Bolaji was teaching us a moment ago, you begin to live by principles. Your life is regulated by principles. You don't just do things because you like them. You don't just do things because they may work. You do things because they are consistent with the character of the Spirit of Christ. Because the Spirit of Christ, the principles of Christ, emanate from the character of Christ. And so when a Christian begins to mature, he begins to live by the principles of the kingdom. He doesn't do what he wants. He does what he should. That's the third level. And then he went to the fourth level. He said, no more tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine and the cunning craftiness of men, where they lie in wait to deceive. And that's what Pastor Yemi was preaching a moment ago, where he was talking about everything is grace, 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 and there is no responsibility. So when you find people who don't have a balanced understanding of doctrine, they will err 1,000 times. So Paul said when you mature, the fourth level of maturity is that you become grounded in doctrine. And then the fifth level of maturity, Paul went further to tell us, next verse, verse 15.
He said, but speaking the truth in love. That means love becomes the sensor of all our actions. We come to a point where anything we do is in the spirit of love. We are in an era today where everybody wants to speak truth. Everybody wants to address somebody. But when you trace the spirit of the correction, it comes from bitterness. When you trace the spirit, it comes from pride. When you trace the spirit, it comes from loftiness. There is no correction that you give to somebody. Instead of exhorting and edifying that person, it destroys that person. That is not consistent with Christ. If we take any action that is not born from love, we are not ministers. Please hear this. There is a lot of pressure to be accepted by a generation. And you know the way the generation works? Anybody who is antagonizing everybody, that's the person saying the truth. And so young ministers today think they are saying the truth when they are attacking fathers. They think they are saying the truth when they are pulling down ancient landmarks. And because we have a gullible generation of people who are not schooled in the things of God, when you become antagonistic, they say you are right. See, arrogance is not boldness. Before you say anything, censor it. Is this thing coated in love? Is this thing coated in humility? Is this thing coated in brokenness? So long as the foundation of that utterance is pride, arrogance, and bitterness, there is no Christ in it. Paul said, mature believers, speak the truth in love. If we don't speak the truth in love, what we are saying may be truth, but it will harm the body. It will not build the body. Levels of maturity. This is why we are here. We are here to grow into God. God wants us to taste of divinity. In 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 3, it says, according as his divine power, he has given us all things that pertains to life and godliness through the knowledge of him that called us to glory and virtue. And in verse 4, hear what it said. It said, he has whereby given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. He said that by this we might become partakers of his divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through love. So God wants us to partake of God. God wants us to experience God so that when we appear, they will no longer know us after the flesh. They will know us after the dimensions of Christ that we represent. Because you are a royal priesthood. You are a chosen generation. You are God's special people, called forth to manifest the excellencies of God. But how can you manifest the excellency of God without the love of God, without the principles of Christ, without groundedness in doctrine, without development of the characters of the Spirit? So if we must taste of God and manifest God, then we must grow in maturity. The second essence of our existence is our transfiguration. When we look at you, thank God the church is big, but how much of Christ do you look like? You know the progression? It begins from mortification of the flesh. After the flesh is mortified, then quickening of the body, so that the body submits to the spirit. Then transformation of the mind. Then transfiguration, where you come into your celestial reality. These are protocols of the spirit. And a believer must make it a point of reference that every day he becomes more like Jesus. Paul says, speaking the truth in love. When you speak the truth in love, then he went back to the last thing in verse 16. Ephesians 4, verse 16. He said that we may grow into him in all things. We may grow into him in all things. Go back to verse 15. That we may grow into him in all things, even Christ, the head of the church. So a point comes, you don't need to talk about Jesus for them to know that there's something of Jesus on your life. That's where Paul got to. He said, be a follower of me, as I'm the follower of Christ. That's where John got to. He said, as he is, so are we in this world. When you meet us, you know you have met Jesus. Our words, our conduct, our lifestyle, everything reflects Jesus. And so the second thing that gives meaning to our existence is our transfiguration. It's our partaking and co-inheriting with Christ until we become like him. And the third thing that defines our essence and meaning is the level of kingdom responsibility that can be committed to us. We are not here to live for ourselves. We are here to give him glory. We are here to give him praise. So when you've known him,
When you are maturing in him, then you begin to grow in your assignment. Even when Jesus was on the cross, that was God's body. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 19, he said, to wit God was with Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses against them. He said, but he gave them the word of reconciliation. It's in that context that every believer is a minister, because you have a portion and a part to play to see that kingdom advances. You can be in the media, you are a minister. You can be in the marketplace, you are a minister. You can be in the church, you are a minister. Wherever you find yourself, you must bring the will of God and the influence of his kingdom there. Otherwise, your existence counts for nothing. In fact, when Jesus was commissioning his disciples, he showed us the scope of impact that he expects us to make. The first is in Matthew 28, verse 19. He said, go into all the world and disciple all nations. So the first level of kingdom impact God expects all of us to have is nations. The word nations, there's the word ethnos. It means ethnic group. Like minds. You can begin with your family. You can begin with your friends. When you move from there, you now go to Matthew 24, verse 14. It said, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world. The word words there is the word oikomune. It means systems and empires. So there is a level where God expects you that kingdom impact in your life should affect your friends and family. But a point come, God wants you to affect the media. A point come, God wants you to affect the government. A point come, God wants you to affect established institutions. And you don't stop there. You now proceed to Mark 16, 15. He said, this gospel must be preached in all the worlds. The word world there is the word cosmos, the whole earth. So you grow from family, you enter institutions, then you affect your world. So if they call you in America, you are making impact. See, everything we are doing is global. Don't make the mistake of thinking this thing will end in one locality. No, you can start from there. That is ethnos, but you must arrive at cosmos. So that kingdom assignment God has given to you, it must be global. And that's why Pastor Bolaji was encouraging us that there must be a transition in mindset. That mindset of me and my family is too myopic for kingdom. A time must come when your influence affects the whole earth. Anywhere men are, your impact for Jesus must be felt there. And Jesus didn't stop there. In Galatians chapter 1 verse 3 and 4, he said the reason Jesus died was to deliver us from the wickedness of this world. The word was, the word there is the word aeon. That means generation. Generation. So you are not only affecting the earth, you are affecting the earth for many generations. Even after you have gone to heaven, your impact is still affecting the whole earth. That's the scope that God wants us to influence the world. But the question is, how can we do this? This is not cheap. One of the powers that makes it happen is the power of prayer. That's why we are talking about prayer. Because if you will affect many generations, it means the root of what you are doing must go beyond time. The root of what you are doing must go into the very fabrics of eternity. And one of the things that make you gain access to the realms eternal is the corridor of prayer. But you see, most of us don't give ourselves to priesthood. And so when we talk about the prayer altar as a sustainer of divine mandate, we need to understand that these things are things that border on the heart of God. It's one of the things that define your essence. If you end your life and you don't know God, you didn't exist. If you end your life and you didn't mature in Christ, your existence was a waste. And if you end your life and you don't advance kingdom, at least to affect your family or systems or the earth or your generation, it means the resources of God on your life was a waste. This is why we insist in prayer. We must establish something that is eternal. I read the Bible. There has never been a time where kingdom was advanced without prayer. Genesis chapter 4, verse 26. When the earth disconnected from God, the Bible said God remembered Adam and gave him a son called Seth. And God gave Seth a son called Enos. And he said, from them, men began to call upon the name of the Lord. The moment men began to call upon the name of the Lord, God couldn't wait anymore. Covenants had to begin. God needed to go back into relationship with mankind. And then a point came, men detached from God again.
built a tower called Babel, and God scattered men, and God disconnected from men. Then we heard something else happen. His love compelled him to start a covenant with Abraham. But that covenant will not go forward until Genesis 12, verse 6. It says, Abraham erected an altar. Genesis 12, verse 7. Abraham erected an altar. If altars don't go up, the heavens cannot kiss the earth. Go and check your scripture. They were in captivity in Egypt until the Bible said, Exodus 3, verse 1. Moses came to Horeb, the backside of the wilderness. And there, he saw a bush burning that was not gone. Why did he go there? He knew something about the oracles of God. Because the priest that he was working with, the priest of the Midianite, is one of the daughters of Keturah. And they were taught the mystery of the high places. So it was Jethro that taught Moses, on that mountain God appears. That is why when he's done with his assignment, he looks for the one that hides behind the wilderness. Where is the oracle of God? It was his search for the secret one that provoked that encounter. Even Jesus, after discipling his followers for over 3 years, he said, don't run out with lecture notes. Tarry in Jerusalem. Luke 24, 49. Until you are endued with power from on high. And the Bible told us in Acts 2, verse 1, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, he said they were together in one accord. Suddenly, they heard a sound as of a rushing mighty wind. What happened? The Holy Ghost fell upon them. And he said there was cloven tongues as of fire on their heads. Even Paul, that had a gospel that no man taught him, he could not advance that gospel without prayer. In Galatians chapter 1 from verse 11 to 13, he said, the gospel I preach, I learnt of no man. Jesus himself taught him that gospel. But from verse 17, he said, I had to go to Arabia. If there's no priesthood in your life, there'll be no kingdom advancement. Because priesthood is the weight, the foundation upon which kingdom mandate will rest. Trust me, no matter how gifted you are, if it's a business that spirits participate in, you want to do, if you don't engage them, you will not succeed. Because there's a realm where brain don't work. It is the breath of the Almighty. He said there's a spirit in man. It is the breath of the Almighty that giveth him understanding. It is not given to man that walketh to order his step. A spirit must be involved. And the way we secure the involvement of the Spirit of God is by the altar of prayer. And that's why Jesus said, if you are a man, one of the ways we know men from heaven is that men ought always to pray. On earth, men can be defined by biological features. But in heaven, we don't define men by biological features. We define men by whose image they carry. We define men by their ability to eat every word that the Father speaks. And we define men by the fact that they pray always and they don't faint. Men ought always to pray. If you will know God, you must pray. If you will fulfill kingdom mandate, you must pray. It is non-negotiable. Pastor Chris Akilome said, it is hard, but it's the only way. Men ought is ought. It's not an advice. Men ought. If you are a man who wants to make impact, you ought. And you don't pray once in a while. Always to pray and not to fail. It's when you begin to pray that the ordination begins to speak. Let me show you six things that prayer does as I round up. As touching your destiny. And these six things, if you don't have them, trust me, you will fail. When wise men look upon a man, they don't need to wait for his end to tell how he will end. There are indicators they will look at. If they are not there, they know he will fail. Imagine the excellent principles that Pastor Yemi was teaching us a moment ago. My goodness. I'm hearing of the Esau minister and the Jacob minister for the first time. And so a minister that does not have value for spiritual things has failed. Don't wait till the end. He has failed. Just give him time. My goodness. These are eternal. You think they just know these things by reading books? They are the whispers of spirits. When your spirit man is charged, other senses open up where you receive oracles that are eternal. And those oracles are the things that will make you stand out in your generation. See, there's a realm where gender does not count. There's a realm where age does not count. There's a realm where race does not count. It's the realm eternal. And you must vehicle yourself there through prayer. Elohim! Kataparadiga. Zenelepana Paragas Tavak. Alo Ravina has the vacos. Sit down for a moment. Time is a body. We need to enter eternity one day for service. For service. The realms yonder. The realms yonder. See, by the altar, you can climb. You can climb. A pillow can become a ladder. It's a technology in priesthood that portals can open. A man can go yonder. Hey, Yahora. The time must come where we must enter our celestial dimension. Paul said, for this cause I groan, that I may be clothed with my heavenly tabernacle. Where wisdom dwells, where power dwells, where the oracles of God are kept, that men touch them, sacred things that are eternal, men are given permission to touch them. And like Moses, when you touch them and you come out, even men will call you God. Can we pray in the Holy Ghost for 1 minute? Zare paratakuna, talilo fakata, zalaka sabira, paragada sabarando, pariado riapa takira, rapasa tabakapua. I need to share some things. You are ministers, so you know God's presence. Sit down for a moment so we don't lose the service. There are 6 things that prayer does that empowers you to fulfill mandate. Number 1, prayer brings revelation, access to the secrets of God. A man who doesn't pray will not have access. I followed Bishop David Oyedepo for too long. I discovered the excellency and the accuracy and precision was not just about study. Study, very heavy, but inspiration, consistent. Even in the bathroom, God speaks to him. My son, get thee up and go to Lagos and raise for me a people. Wow. That one is not read, it's caught. Because that utterance captures God's purpose, captures God's timing, captures God's location. There's no way you can find one sentence that is that rich, except as you journey yonder, except as you enter the realm, and then you see this man. Oh my God, thank you, sirs. We are copying, watering, not planting. I started perming my hair 13 years ago to look like Pastor Chris. I pray for the sick, they die. I did everything correctly. From intonation to posture to walk steps, everything naturally correct, but there was no depth in the spirit. The more you speak, the more the atmosphere dies, and then you are wondering what's the difference. He has access in the spirit. He knows when to shift. He's talking. He knows when to transit from the auditorium to the secret place. He knows when the sound on the keyboard changes to the songs of song. That one is not taught in the Bible school. They are the ladders of the spirit realm that only priesthood can bring you to. Prayer gives you access to the secrets of God. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 7 to 9. Let me show you something. See, the things that are your advantage, they are hidden. And they are hidden because of your glory. God doesn't want the devil to corrupt it. So your responsibility is to find them. As you are seated here now, everything you need for your destiny is available, but it's hidden for your sake. Now, if you don't find them, they will be there, but you will not access them. He said, we speak wisdom. We speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory. So, the wisdom we need for our destiny is called hidden wisdom for our glory. And the reason God did it so is so that the devil can't corrupt it. For if the princes of this world had known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Because if the devil knows it, he will want to destroy it. And so for your sake, God hides it. This is why you pray, so that you will find what was hidden for your glory. In Romans 8:26, he said, we know not what to pray for as we ought to. Nevertheless, we pray. And we pray until we begin to groan.
It's as we enter the realm of groaning that the Spirit of God brings all those truths to us. This is what now gives meaning to 1 Corinthians 2, 9 and 10. The Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. So if a man does not groan in prayer, the Spirit will not search all things. This is the undoing of many people. They have no access to secrets. And one secret can change your life. Oh, the difference will be like night and day. Hosea 6 verse 4, it says, my people perish for the lack of knowledge. He didn't deny them. They are still my people, but they perish because they don't have access to truth. And one of the ways to get truth is by praying. Listen, people go forward by secrets. People go forward by revelation. In Galatians 2:1, it says, I went up by revelation. You don't go up because you wish it. You go up by revelation. And most of us are down because we have no revelation. This is why we search in the Spirit for truth to be delivered to us. Sometimes when I read the Bible and I look at my life, I say, God of mercy, I will not leave this earth until I fulfill all of these things. When the first man was created, he was created a dominion. A dominion. And I checked the cadre of heaven. I saw that in the cadre of heaven, you have Christ, who is the first of all creatures. Then you have thrones. Then you have dominions. Then you have principalities. Then you have powers. And I studied to understand what these things mean. I discovered a throne is a prince that is given the opportunity to co-rule with God. He now gave me understanding why the 24 elders sit with God on thrones. And then I saw also the Bible said, Jesus said, at the end of time, you will sit with me on 12 thrones to judge the 12 tribes of Israel. So that is something that happens to you when your assignment is over. But I also discovered that a dominion is a prince that is given a territory to dominate. So when man, God created the earth, he gave the earth to the sons of men. That's why man was created a dominion. But the man fell and became a servant. When Jesus came, Jesus didn't just exalt the man back to the rank of a dominion. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 20 and 21, the Bible said he seated far above principalities and powers, above dominions, every name that is named. So now that we are seated with Christ, we are not just functioning as dominions. We are supposed to function as thrones. This is why God gives us permission sometimes. We speak and bring judgment to affairs. Because we have come to a level of co-inhering with him. But people who should give laws, people who should give instructions, are servants. You see, I've seen an abomination under the earth. That princes are trekking while beggars are riding on horses. If you have no access to these truths by experience, you will see it in the Bible and your life will be filled with contradictions. And if you are not careful, it will affect your conviction. This is not because the Bible is not true. It's because you are not engaging. That's why I told you the secret of impact is revelation and consecration. Prayer is the consecration, but this consecration also brings the revelation. That's why we pray. The moment you pray, you know. When you pray, you see. When you pray, you hear. That's the beauty of prayer. Jeremiah 33 verse 3 says, ask of me, I will answer. But I'm not just here to answer you. If answer is what I will give you, then you will see operate at your level. Because the things you will ask will be small. My son now, the highest thing he can ask me for is a toy. Meanwhile, I need him to live an impactful life. So in addition to answering, he said, I will now do something. I will show you great and mighty things that you know not of. That means there is a gap of understanding already. But your prayer will bridge it. Because now that you have given access, I will now excavate the secrets of God for you. And if you find one secret, it's enough for your destiny. One. Bishop Oedipo found faith. Pastor Chris found eternal life. Kenneth Hagin found faith. W.F. Kumuyi found holiness. That was enough. They've shaken their words. They shook it. You can't deny their existence. They shook it. They shook it. There's nothing you can say about it. Whether you are in the church or outside the church, you can't deny their presence because they found secrets. The secret you need to find, you will catch it in this meeting. Prayer is not a joke. Number two, I'll list them now. I'm out of time.
Prayer releases the glory of God from within you. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. When we sin, we fell from glory. However, John 17:22, the glory that you gave to me, I've given to them. And now, you need to understand the difference. When we speak about this glory, we are not talking about praise and exaltation. That glory belongs only to God. When we speak about this glory, we are talking about the nature and the excellency of God. It's on your inside. And that's what Jesus said. John 17:22, the glory you gave me, I have also given to them, that they may be one as we are one. Because Jesus wants men to see us and see him in us. But that glory will be locked except as he prayed. The fashion of his countenance was altered. His raiment began to glister. So Jesus showed us the pattern. When men pray, the glory of God in them manifests. It can manifest in form of wisdom. It can manifest in form of power. It can manifest in form of favor. But by all means, glory must manifest. We are tired of seeing haircuts and suits. They clothed with glory. Suits don't open doors. They may add some favor to you in an interview. But trust me, what you need to be clothed in is glory. And it is prayer that we excavate it. So if you are not meditating on the word of God, pray. Glory will manifest. Number three, prayer helps you to build strength for the journey. Strength. You need it. In Proverbs 24:10, it says, if you faint in the day of trouble, your strength is little. However, in Jude 3:20, it says, building up yourself upon your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. See, the journey of ministry is not just great. It's treacherous. There are certain arrows that will be shot into your heart. If you don't have strength, it will kill you. There are certain errors you will make just because maybe a loved one struck you when you were not ready and you made a mistake. That mistake was supposed to be in weakness and in pain, but men don't forgive. This is why you must build enough capacity until you become like a fortress, so that come what may, you will still stand. You know that God, although sovereign, cannot do much in your life except as the power in you is at work. Ephesians 3:20 says, God is able to do exceeding abundantly above what you ask or think, according to the power. So if the power at work in you is not working, God will not be able to do. That's why in most of our lives, God is not able to do, because the power is not working. Prayer builds that power up. The word is like an edifice. You rise up to a point where nothing can break you. I'm out of time. But let me add this. Prayer gives you authority for rulership and dominion. I call it legislation and litigation. In Psalm 141 verse 2, it says, let my prayer be set before you as an incense, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. If you hear that incense, if you don't trace it in scripture, you may take it for granted. If you go to Revelation chapter 5 verse 8, it said the 24 elders sang, and it said the prayers of the saints ascended to heaven as odors. They are stored in golden vials. So our prayers are stored as incense. Those are the things that allow God to do certain things in our lives and in territories without asking anybody to support him. In Revelation 8, 4 to 6, the Bible said the angel mixed the prayers of the saints, which were incense. And he said when it was done, judgment was sent to the earth. How do you think Jesus encountered Ananias and said, why persecutest thou me? It's because Ananias raised incense. And that's why, although Jesus confronted him in his glory, he said, go into the city, you'll be told what to do. There is a man who raised enough incense and created this legislation. He will be the one to determine your fate. And Jesus had to go to Ananias and told him, brother Saul is somewhere in the city. Go and talk to him. Let him be well. And Ananias said, no. Is this not the guy who persecutes the church? Jesus said, yes, I want him to do a great work for me. Why didn't you just commission him? This is where the body of Christ becomes mystical. You may be praying here and creating change in Canada because of what you prophesied from your prayer altar. You may be praying here and creating change in Ghana. They may never know you are the one until in eternity. Then they will tell you in 1940 to 1980, the father of Ghana is somebody from Congo. And you are saying, what's happening? His prayer is what created the atmosphere. Colossians 4:12, he said, a Epaphras is one of you.
a bond servant of Christ, laboring fervently for you in prayers that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. The church may be flourishing in Colossae. You think the pastors are intelligent. Let Epaphras leave. You'll be shocked how helpless the principles will be. That means Epaphras is who the man who determines the operation of the church in Colossae, whereas he was not even in Colossae. But incense have risen to heaven. This is where the dynasties of men become heavy. So a man may not even have a church, but he's a governor over a territory, because it's his prayer that gives access. Prayer is not something to toy with. Your ordination depends on it. Can we pray for 1 minute? Elohim Adonai. Your prayer and affect a city, is it your ministry that will fail? That means the leftover of your intercession can affect a city. That's the see, Jesus didn't look at us as individuals. So he said, you are a city set upon a hill that cannot be healed. So your least capacity is a city. How can you be struggling with one denomination? The problem is that your prayer is not heavy. I read about Samuel. Samuel prayed until his prayer stopped being an activity. His prayer became a mantle. And his prayer stopped being a mantle. It became a router. Until the whole of Naioth came under its influence. When Saul came to arrest him, nobody spoke to him. The Bible said he tore his garment and prophesied all night. The man had created a router over Naioth. And so anybody who enters Naioth, we have encounter. If you pray enough, not only your church will grow, every church in the city where you are will begin to grow. That's when you become the ruler over that spiritual atmosphere. Can we pray for 1 minute? See, you are not small. You are not weak. You are not disadvantaged. The problem is that you are not taking advantage of the things that are for your good.
If you were blessed by this message you just listened to and you wish to make Jesus your Lord and personal Savior, kindly repeat the prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I believe in your Son Jesus Christ and that he died for my sins. He was raised from the dead for my justification. I, therefore, confess with my mouth that Jesus is the Lord of my life. I receive eternal life into my spirit. I am born again. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name, amen. If you just said these prayers, congratulations, you are now a member of the family of God. Kindly send us an email, prayer@encounterjesusministriesinternational.org. You can also visit our website at www.encounterjesusministriesinternational.org. God bless you.